Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 15. In verse 8, Jesus said, "This people draws near to me with their mouth, and with their lips honor me, but their heart holds far off from me. But in vain they worship me." Vain means emptiness, meaningless. They worship me. And this is a quote from Isaiah 29:13, and putting those two together, he continues there, "Their fear toward me is the result of teaching as doctrines the precepts of men." So what Jesus is saying is, though they give me lip service, their regard for me is not in the heart. It's simply out of the practice of people. It's simply a cultural thing. It's simply habit. It's a tradition. Their fear toward me, their reverence toward me, comes from the teaching of doctrines and precepts of men, not of God, of men. There's a lot of people who enter into this kind of a relationship toward God, not with God, toward God. Because there are a lot of people in Matthew 7:22 who think that they have a relationship with God, but it's not. It's a relationship toward God. In other words, they do things for Him. They try to be religious for Him. Sometimes they'll even do something at church for Him. They're doing all these things for Him, but they never have a relationship with Him. He's not interested in so much what you do for Him. He's interested in a relationship with Him. When a person gets into this place where they're a Christian or going to church or something because they should, they get into this deadness. And it becomes fake, not only to them, but to everybody around them. They can see that this is a dead faith. It becomes a thing where they have to prop it up, and they have to pretend, even for themselves. And if you ask them about church, "Hey, we're going to church Sunday morning," the answer becomes, "Oh, do we have to?" If you have to ask yourself, "Do I have to?" when it comes to church, you're doing something extremely wrong in your relationship to God. In other words, you don't know how to have one. You don't go to church because you have to, because you should. You go to church to get to know God by getting to know the mind of God, the Word of God, the thoughts of God. If you know somebody, you know what they're thinking. My wife is a great example of this. Her mother went home to be with the Lord 21 years ago. It seems like yesterday, but it was 21 years ago this year. And she can tell you exactly what her mother would say or what her mother would think in pretty much any given situation. She said it 1,000 times. "Mom would say this," or "Mom would do this," or "Mom would love this," or what have you. "Mom wouldn't like this." She knows exactly what her mother's thoughts would be. Why? She knew her. She had a real relationship with her. She knew exactly her mother's thoughts for exactly any situation. You know, God wants that relationship with you also. God wants you to know Him so well, you know His thoughts in any given situation. And that's exactly what church is for. You're not there so that you would be religious. You're not there to pretend. You're there to get to know Him. If it becomes something else, or if your faith becomes simply a habit, how many people say, "I'm a Christian," or any other religion for that matter? If you ask them, "What religion are you?" "I'm a Christian." "Do you go to church?" "No." "Are you saved?" "I don't know." "Are you going to go to heaven when you die?" "Nobody can tell you that." You know what? You're not a Christian. You call yourself a Christian maybe because your parents were. Maybe you call yourself a Christian because you're not Jewish or Muslim. Maybe you call yourself a Christian because you kind of got raised in a situation where your family called themselves Christian. But that's not being a Christian. That's pretending. Young people, in your life with God, never pretend. Never, never pretend. Now, I'm not saying be spoiled or self-indulgent. I'm not saying honor your emotions above the Word of God because your emotions are the ones that dictate truth. That's not it. However, let your relationship to God be a real relationship because He has a real relationship with you. Let what you have with God be real. Don't think ever, because this is one common form of pretending that people don't realize is pretending, don't ever let emotions dictate or define in any way your relationship to God. Don't let should become a factor in your relationship to God. You develop a relationship to God because God longs for a relationship with you. He loves you, and He's interested in a relationship with you. He wants an intimate friendship with you. He wants to be the best friend you've ever had, but He wants your friendship for Himself also. People sometimes don't think about that, is that God wants friendship as well. In reality, that's why we were created. Because love is the character of God, but where there are only holy angels, there was no one available to receive that love. Because love, being first patience and then expressed as kindness, can only be given to those who cannot earn that love. In other words, if you deserve patience, then what is patience? Patience can only be given to those who don't deserve it. If you deserve kindness, then what is kindness? Kindness can only be given to those who don't deserve it. And so the angels deserved these things, so they weren't qualified. 1 Corinthians 13:4 says, patience, it defines it as long-suffering. Patience is the first characteristic of God's love. Well, you don't have to suffer long with angels. You don't suffer at all with them. Angels don't make you suffer, God's angels. Angels are there to help you. They're wonderful creatures. I'm absolutely convinced there's nothing more edifying than to be surrounded by angels. Kindness to an angel, angels are perfect. Unkindness would be unrighteous. So it's really just giving them their due. You see, therein is the relationship. That God, who is love, desired to have a relationship with someone who could receive His love. Pretending actually blocks people from receiving the love of God. That's why organized religion, or this institutional, ecumenical religious systems, I'm not speaking about the individuals within those systems, but I'm saying the way that those systems often teach will actually block the love of God because they get you into a mode of pretending by telling you this is the law, this is what you should do. What I should do has nothing to do with a relationship. Young people, keep it real. Keep it real. God is real with you. Keep it real. God will never be fakey with you. Keep it real with Him. God will never pretend with you. Don't pretend with Him. God will never tell you something just because that's what you want to hear. Don't do that with Him either. Keep it real. And remember, real is not defined by your emotions. Real is defined by the fact that it's truth in your life. Not because you're pretending something, but because you possess something. There's people out there who approach life with God by trying to learn what everybody has to say about Him, rather than actually getting to know Him. I've met people like that from time to time. It's really kind of interesting because they don't really know Him. They know about Him. It's like George Washington in a way. We can learn everything there is to know about George Washington, but we will never know George Washington until we get to heaven. He was, by the way, a Christian, so he is there. But we'll never get to know him in this life. We can know about him. But I'll tell you who did know him. His wife knew him. His children knew him. His friends knew him. They could tell you what he was like. They could tell you what he's thinking. They could tell you what he would do in any given situation because they knew him, just like you know with your own family. There's a group where in 2 Timothy 3:7, they're always learning about him, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's intellectual pretending. A lot of secular, what used to be Christian schools or Bible colleges, seminaries, some of them, but now they're secular schools. They have theology programs where the professors are very intellectual and very heady, but they don't know if they're going to heaven when they die. For that matter, they don't even know if the Bible is truth. They study it like a history book, but they don't study it as truth. Therefore, it's completely meaningless to them. It's not real to them. Young people, keep it real. The word is truth. There's no faking it. When you have truth, the word is truth. You don't have to pretend you have truth. The world pretends. The world pretends they're satisfied. The world pretends they're happy. The world pretends they can make it on their own. The world pretends they have no need of anything. And if by natural ability they do manage to get somewhere in life, they still are nowhere with God unless they get saved. You, on the other hand, it doesn't matter what you do. If you have God, and I know that you do, you can't lose. You have truth. You don't need to pretend. You don't need to fake. You have truth. You don't have to make things up. You have truth. So keep it real. In 1 Samuel 15:22, Samuel said to Saul, when Saul would not obey the word of God, he says, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of God? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams." These people were making all kinds of sacrifices to the Lord. They were pretending. They were doing these religious things, but they weren't obedient in their own heart. What's the point? Why be religious if there's no relationship, if there's no response, if there's no obedience? Why say Jesus is the king of my life and then you don't listen to him? He's obviously not the king. He's obviously not on the throne if that's the case. But you don't have to say anything at all if he is on the throne of your heart. You don't have to say anything at all if you are living in faith, if you are responding to him. Your life will testify about who you are, and God already knows because he's looking at your heart. You don't have to pretend. You can keep it real. In Matthew 15:10, Jesus said, "Hear and understand, it is not the thing entering into the mouth that defiles a man, but the thing coming forth out of the mouth that defiles a man." So many people are so worried about breaking the law. So many people are so worried about being just so with God. So many people are so worried about doing everything just right. But Jesus said, it's not what you do, it's what's inside of you. It's not that you're religious, it's not that you practice the laws, it's not the Ten Commandments, it's not that you do all this religious whatever you do. If you fail outwardly, it's not what actually defiles you, it's what comes out of you that defiles you. I'm not saying sin is okay, I'm saying the greater matter is the matters of the heart. God's not interested in phony, he's not interested in pretending, God is not interested in trying to be something that you're not God is saying, let me turn you into something that I am. All the laws and all the rules cannot even compare to knowing God. But God's not interested in laws or rules. God is interested in relationship and knowing God. In Exodus 33:11, the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. Now, think about that for a moment, what that is saying. Here was a man, Moses. He was a man just like you guys are humans. He was human just like any other person. He was a man. He wasn't unique or special except that he had a call on his life. Well, you have a call on your life also. It's not the same call, but it's just as valuable, just as important, has the same source. If the source is the same, then the value is the same. God spoke to this man face to face. God did. Not a priest, not some guy, not a religious pretense, not some pretending thing going on at all. God spoke to Moses face to face. Like a man speaks with his friend. Moses wasn't pretending. God never does pretend. But because Moses was for real, Moses was not pretending. God knew, I have a friend in Moses. And I'm going to talk to Moses because Moses is my friend. That's what happens when you keep it real with God. You develop this close friendship. God spoke to Moses face to face as a friend. You know, God wants to speak to you face to face as a friend. It's not because it was Moses. It's because Moses was his friend. He was real with God. He didn't pretend with God. He loved God, yes. He obeyed God, yes. But those are part of the relationship, a real relationship. Those aren't pretending to be something and then not being that. Those are real things. And God saw the reality of the relationship and God loved it because he wanted Moses' friendship. He wants yours also. In Proverbs 21:2, every way of a man is right in his own eyes. In other words, people do what they think is right before God if they have any regard toward that at all. But God measures the hearts. You ever meet somebody who's very religious, very unkind? They're very religious and they judge everybody. Very religious and they have something negative to say about everything. God's not interested in that. Their religion doesn't do anything. Their religion is pretense and they're really just lying to themselves because you can't lie to God. God looks at your heart. Yes, he wants you to go to church so that you can get to know him. There are a lot of people who use that thought and say, I don't have to go to church. God will look at my heart, as though that's where you don't get to know him. Those are the people who see a church as some sort of a religious duty. But church is not a duty and it's not religious. Church is all about relationship with him. He looks at relationship in the heart. Much more closely than any outward thing you can think of. In Ephesians 3:17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love. Young people, don't pretend about loving God. Either you love him or you don't love him, but if you don't love him, don't pretend. And if you do love him, don't pretend that you don't. Sometimes people love God, but because they're afraid of the world or other people, oh, they're going to think I'm weird. They're not going to admit that they love God to the lost. But you know what? The lost are going to hell, and if you admit to them that you love God, there's a chance that they'll get saved, and they will not go to hell. They'll go to heaven if they get saved. Don't pretend to love God because God does not pretend to love you. God does love you. He doesn't have to pretend. You do love God. If you love God, you do love God. You don't have to pretend. God does love you. He died for you in John 3:16. God does love you. He doesn't have to pretend to love you. It's real. And the love that you receive from Him, because that's how we love Him in 1 John 4:19, because He loves us, you concentrate on receiving the love, accepting, believing the love that He has for you, and the love for God in you will be real also. And there will be no need to pretend. You let Him love you, you accept it, you believe it, and it's real. Because He really does love you. In John 15:5, Jesus said, I am the vine, you're the branches. That's a very intimate relationship. You get your life through me. He who abides in me, that is to say, because in 1 John 4:8 He is love, you can say, He who abides in my love, and I am Him, which means the Word of God, He is, in John 1:14, the living Word of God, and the Word of God abides in him, that person will be very fruitful. They will have the fruit of the Spirit. You know what the first of the fruits of the Spirit is? The love of God. The second, joy. Love and joy, imagine that. And have them be real, not have to pretend to have love, not have to pretend to have joy, but you actually do have love and you actually do have joy. That comes from abiding in the love of God, keeping yourself in the love of God. Jude said one of the most important things in verse 21 is to look for the mercy, the patience of God toward you. And the kindness of God will follow. And that's how you keep yourself in the love of God. Well, that person who does that, who has the Word of God in their frame of reference, and they keep themselves in the love of God, that person is very fruitful. They don't have to pretend about anything. Because it's all real for them. In Philippians 3:9, be found in Christ, not having, and this is Paul talking about himself, not having my own righteousness, and the same is true for us, not having our own righteousness. We don't have to pretend to be righteous, we are righteous. Because righteousness in Romans 3:22 is by faith. Not having my own righteousness, which is from the law. So all pretending. Trying to live up something without actually being possessors of something. But that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness which is from God by faith. That I may know Him. And the power of His resurrection. In other words, that I may have this intimate relationship. And it comes by faith. That I may have this intimate relationship with Him, and then I receive all the fullness and the ability. And He's talking about the power of the resurrection. That means the resurrection life. In other words, that my life not be the natural life that I was born with into this world. But it'd be a supernatural life where I see supernatural things because I have a supernatural God that I'm one with in Ephesians 2:15 and 16. And that life becomes my life. Sourced in my relationship with Him. When you know God and He's a friend and it's real, He actually gives you His life. Now, with people, that's not possible, but with God, it is. He gives you His life, His quality of life, His thoughts, His heart, His emotions, His identity, His experiences even. He gives you His heart because He makes you to be one with Him. If you're pretending, you're blocking that. But when you keep it real, and you let Him love you, and you keep the Word of God in your frame of reference, thinking with the Word of God, then it is real. Then you don't have to pretend. Then it is real. And then you have really great quality of life. Why? You didn't pretend. You made it real. Young people, keep it real. Whatever you do, keep it real. Amen? If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, and you don't know where you're going to go when you die, simply pray, "Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I receive you as my Savior. Thank you for loving me so much that you died for me, so I can have eternal life with you. Amen."